folks, it's that time. We're persistent, if nothing else. And it's time to get our weekly view from the North. Ow! Try to keep up with all he's up to if you dare. NBC Sports Northwest, Rip City Radio, The Bridge with Bree Amaranthus and Serena Winter. Give it a whirl on Twitter. The handle's at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, happy Friday. How are things?
Things are great. Sorry I missed your first call. My phone was still on silent from being on the radio myself. So, yeah, I got to figure that out.
No, that's, believe me, that's a better habit to get into for those who actually want to talk to you. We'll be persistent. So, I love the game you guys played earlier this week. You call it What If Wednesday? And yeah. I love the question because normally when the issue of Greg Oden comes up, people are like, well, what would have happened if you drafted Durant? But you guys went, well, what if he didn't get hurt? And that second year, I mean, with Brandon Roy and Aldridge and Batum and Fry, and, you know, they had a really good season. So what was the verdict? What did you guys come up with?
Well, Dwight James was of the mind that he thinks Oden was going to be pretty good. I had my reservations. I felt like he was really struggling, especially on offense. But he was struggling to stay out of foul trouble as well, but he was actually developing as a defender, and clearly he was rebounding well. But I don't think he was going to be the marquee center that they were getting. I think that even had he not gotten injured, I think he'd have been at best, you know, a 17-11 guy with a couple of blocks, which is still quality. I mean,
sure,
he's a quality guy. But I don't think he was going to be even like an Andre Drummond type guy. I mean, maybe if like 7-8 years down the road he was a, you know, 27, he might have been that kind of guy. But I just felt like it was a miss. Like, it was just going to be just another solid center, and that no matter what, there still was going to be that, we could have had Durant situation. Because when they drafted him, I thought they were going to have a chance to get, you know, another Patrick Ewing, David Robinson, some kind of marquee guy. Not anyone who would ever have the offensive moves of Olajuwon or whatever, but at least develop a jump hook, at least play, you know, great defense, run the floor, but he just wasn't developing as far as I was concerned. So that's sort of where we settled, somewhere in the middle.
Now, full disclosure, I worked at the time, my producer was from Texas, and all he was like, take Durant, take Durant, take Durant. And I was like, you're crazy. Take Oden, take Oden, take Oden. So, A, now you know why I'm not a GM, but hearkening back at the time, what was your take?
Oh, Oden. I mean, because I covered the 07 Final Four, so I watched him in Atlanta, and he was going up against Joakim Noah and Al Horford, and he
sure
was killing it in that game. And I'd watched, you know, him in the tournament, obviously, as well. And I thought, you know, he's young. He's going to develop more of a post game. He's going to even get better. He's clearly there defensively, and he can rebound his butt off. He's athletic. Like, there's no way you don't take a chance on a guy like that with that type of talent, because if you have a big like that who can dominate inside, it can just make everything else easier. Durant was clearly intriguing. I didn't think he was going to be as good as he was. I remember some people who were negative on Durant, they thought, oh, he's just going to be like maybe another Rashard Lewis or something like that. Clearly that was wrong. But I think what hurts more than the fact that Durant, you know, turned out really good is that you got nothing out of Oden. I mean,
right,
nothing. Like if Oden was 17-11 for his career right now, you'd at least have got, you didn't get the better player, but at least you had a good, solid player you could build around. And had Roy stayed healthy, and he would have kept Aldridge, you never would have had Dame, though. But who knows what that trio would have done. But the fact that you got nothing out of Oden and then he was gone, that's what hurts the most.
Yeah.
Same thing with Bowie and Jordan. Had Bowie just been good, it wouldn't hurt as bad, but you got zero. It's just, it's awful.
Yeah, we could also go back to LaRue Martin, but not just yet.
Yeah.
Let's get to the actual playoffs. So we've been unified in thinking it's been a countdown to coronation for Golden State. Then they lose game 4 and 5. And what got me, I mean, so is Andre Iguodala the most important player? Because down the stretch, they looked awful offensively. I mean, these last two games at crunch time, what's kind of stuck out to you?
That game 4, I could not believe how bad Golden State was in the fourth quarter. I think it was in the third quarter they were getting away with some hero ball because Curry went off, but he was shooting some deep shots. Whereas one, you know, those situations where those are technically bad shots before Henry makes them. Then I felt like in the fourth quarter he was hunting for those too much and settling for them. And it was just weird watching them just, whoever had the ball would just dribble, 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 looking for their shot to go one-on-one. And they weren't playing Warriors basketball. And, you know, give Houston credit for cranking up on defense, but Houston's not known as a defensive juggernaut. Like, how are you making them look like the 80s Pistons? And I kept waiting for Golden State to get out of that malaise, so to speak, and they never did. And so it was just crazy. Like, if you tell me Houston would win, you know, some games 123 to 120, and basically because Houston lit it up, I could buy that. But the hold Golden State to under 100 in back-to-back games, especially after Golden State had just beaten them by 40, is incredible. Give all credit to Mike D'Antoni. State's not playing well, and I blame them more after Game 4 than I gave credit to Houston. But after Game 5, you've got to give credit to Houston because they're taking it to Golden State.
No, it's totally knocked me over with a feather. So in the East, we've got five games, five dogs. You know, J.R. Smith and Tristan Thompson last game scored a point and 2 points. George Hill, the other starter, made a bucket. You know, with Jason Tatum, you're like, there's two teams who might be, could we have a draft do-over? But back in Cleveland tonight, you think LeBron and this group bounce back and get us a game seven, or do they look like toast?
Oh, I would think. I mean, the same thing that's hurting Cleveland in Boston is killing Boston and Cleveland, because Boston's youth is not playing well on the road. They're 1-4, I think, on the road.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in the playoffs, meanwhile, for the Cavaliers, their vets can't play anywhere, but on the road at all. I mean, the fact is J.R. Smith, Tristan Thompson just completely disappear the way they do, and sometimes a Korver as well, and then Love has had some bad games. It's just amazing to me. How can you play with LeBron James and get all those good looks and all those good opportunities and not deliver anything? Like, if J.R. Smith went 5 for 15, that'd be bad, but at least you're giving him with some threes and you're giving him 12 or 13 points. He goes out there and goes 1 for.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you doing? How is that possible? But I do think they're going to play well at home, unless LeBron has already resigned himself to the fact that they can't win. That's what scares me, because I still maintain, man, his last series against Boston while he was with Cleveland, I think he mailed it in. I think he felt like they were up 2-1 in that series and lost 4-2. I think he realized they weren't going to go any further than that they couldn't handle Boston after losing Game 4, and he just gave up. I think in his last game in Miami at San Antonio, Game 5, down 3-1, I think he mailed that one in, and I fear he might do the same. I don't think it'll happen in 6, but I think in Game 7, if the rest of the cast is not doing its job to help win, I don't think he'll try and take it over. I think he'll just be like, you know what, I'm out of here.
Literally could be out.
I'm out.
Talking with Aaron Ventress of NBC Sports
Oh,
Northwest.
One more quick point.
Go ahead.
I'm a Bulls guy.
Who you
Even
are?
I picked Cleveland and Golden State. The Bulls fan in me is loving this. One, you know, if Golden State can't beat Houston, I don't want to hear about how they can beat the 90s Bulls. And if LeBron, I don't care who he has around him, if he can't beat a team minus its best player, its best two players in Boston, and let Boston become one of the worst, least talented, proven teams to ever make the NBA Finals, those are great story developments for the legacy of Jordan and the Bulls, as far as I'm concerned. Just saying.
Yeah, the legacy protectors are riding the Boston and the Houston bandwagon. Who's kidding who? All right, I've got I need some clarity here. So I was on the site looking at some of the interviews you and Dwight did, and you got this guy, Jim Ross, who I'm clueless. I got no idea. He's a wrestling announcer. So was this one of those days where you decided, why do I want to do a daily radio show? Or are you one of these guys from the 80s and 90s who actually followed wrestling a little bit?
That was all Dwight. Dwight was all geeked up to have that guy on. He was all excited. I had no idea who he was. I don't know who he was. When you just said his name a second ago, I'm like, who the hell is he talking about? Oh, yeah. That guy on. If you listen to this segment, I maybe asked like 3 questions the entire 20-minute segment. I had nothing for that guy. I'm not a WWE guy at all. No clue. I'm more clueless about that than I am about hockey, and I don't know squat about hockey. Although I'm determined to learn. I got the Caps. I got a $10 bet with Dwight. I got the Caps. I want the Capitals to win because I don't believe it's expansion teams to win a title. So I'm going to dive into the NHL Stanley Cup final this time around.
All right. That I like. Because I was thinking as I'm listening, this is one of those deals where somebody came to Fentress and said, we're having a guest on, and you went right to Google.
Exactly. That's exactly what I did.
That's classic. All right, let's close with some Cubby talk. They won today, so they're 5 over .500. They got a nice outing from Kendrick. You know, they're only 3 back. I think Morrow's doing okay as a full-time closer for the first time. So as we hit Memorial Day, they're healthy. So how you feeling about their shot to eventually kind of wear down Milwaukee and St. Louis and Pittsburgh and win the Central?
Yeah, it's kind of a lot like last year. They start off slowly and then just picked it up later. I kind of expect that to happen. Yu Darvish has been struggling. I think we'll turn around eventually. The lineups are really inconsistent again. Like, Schwarber's better, but still only 240. Bryant's been okay. Rizzo's been awful, 203.
Yep.
I mean, really. Javi Baez got hot, cooled off a little bit. Addison Russell's just been okay. Hayward's decent compared to last year. So it's like they're just kind of good, but they're deep enough to where they can still win some games. I just think eventually, though, they'll hit their stride and go on a big two-month run where they'll be pretty dominant, win the division. I'm worried about them finding that magic they had in 2016 to win in the playoffs. I'm glad the Dodgers suck. That's good news because Dodgers had their number last year. But you look at Atlanta, you look at other teams, and I'm not fully confident yet that they're going to be the team to beat in the NL, but it's a long season. It's only late May, and there's already talk, man. There's all this Machado talk.
Yeah, crazy.
If they can turn Addison Russell into Machado, then it's like, whoa.
Yeah, especially since Baltimore took the step of putting him out there, and it's like, oh, he's a shortstop now. Okay. And they're both young. You know, they're both 24, 25. So
right. That
would be interesting. All right. Yep. I figure you're confident. No reason not to still be confident because it is May 25th.
It is May.
All right, Mr. Fentress. You and yours have a safe, happy Memorial Day weekend. And we'll see what's up our sleeves when we chat next week.
All right, man. Take care. Have a good weekend.
Take it easy.